So it's been quite a big week. We've had 5 days doing sort of hui related things, and quite long days. Some of them started at 7 o'clock in the morning with breakfast, and finished at about 9:30 at night. So it can be a little overwhelming, can't it, in these spaces? But we are going to be looking at 2 John today, which I wanted to read to start with. I might just find it in my phone because it will be a bit easier. Okay, this is the second letter of John in its entirety, so you can say that you have read a book of the Bible today. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. This is the love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess. I'm just trying to find out where I'm up to. Oh, you tuned it. Good. Confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ but goes beyond it does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into your house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send their greetings to you. The end. Would someone get me a glass of water? Is that all right? Thanks, Joel. I'm going to cough a bit. So John, agreeing with Anna last week, would do well with a good editor, and says the same thing again that we've been hearing week after week after week after week. It may be writing to a persecuted church, and so using sort of coded language, the elect lady being the church and the children being the Christians. And 2 points to be careful. Christians, people who call themselves Christians, will act like Christ. Thanks.
Helen and I had a sense of the spirit at Hui. On 2 days, we wore exactly matching colours.
Like I've got a photo of one. Yeah. So people who call themselves Christians will act like Christ. And how will you know that? By the way they love each other. So love one another. And what does that look like in our world today? I woke on Thursday morning overwhelmed, sad, gutted, angry as all heck, disappointed. And so the first thing I did was turn to Nadia Boltz-Weber, who was a pastor in America, who I love to read. And this is her prayer for that day. It says, "Dear God, you're going to need to help out today. If people in my life need comfort and reassurance, it really can't come from me today, because I am in need of the same. I just can't just blow sunshine up anyone's ass today, Lord. So I ask that you send them what they need, please. If it is possible to remind us that millions of human beings throughout history have lived through worse political situations and still managed to make art and find joy and share meals and resist despair, could you do that for us, please? And then keep guiding us towards their wisdom. In fact, cover us all in the wisdom that is not available in memes and hot takes. And help us remember to drink some water today. In other words, have mercy upon us. Amen. And while we were at Hui, there was an apology made to women that was read from the women's council. It was a lament read in Te Reo Māori, in Samoan, and in Tongan, and a prayer and acknowledgement. And this is part of the words that were said. Regrettably, on many occasions, the attitudes, behaviours and actions of the people within the Baptist churches of New Zealand have worked against the many best interests of women. Many times our leaders and churches have treated women with dishonour, disrespect, misogyny and prejudice, making them feel unequal and marginalised. We realise that many of these things continue to be a reality for some women. Today we, the Baptist Union of Churches of New Zealand, acknowledge that this behaviour is not acceptable, and it is with sorrow and remorse that we recognise the pain caused to these women. We acknowledge you, we validate you, your stories are with us. And that's just a picture of some of it. And I sat with a group of women before Hui, because it was surprisingly early, because I got the time very wrong, and we were all out there by 9:15 when it didn't start until 10:30. And we read the prayer, and then we had a glass of water, and we toasted ourselves. And I will watch and see as the words that I read out from the Women's Council, and I'll see how those words are lived out in the church and in our lives. And as Ray Totorewa said, that we walk out our repentance. And I stand with them in their lament, and I lament for this political decision and for the consequences that will echo throughout America and into our world. For immigrants, for women, for our trans and rainbow sisters and brothers, for people in war-torn places, including Ukraine and Palestine, South Sudan, for our planet. And I want to make this really, really clear, that this is not who Christ is. Ooh. This is not Christ. This is not Christ. This is not Christ. This is not Christ. This is who Christ is and who we are called to imitate. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And then this is who Christ is. Sorry, I'm also just running this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every name, knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Nope, haven't got a gap in. I'll just leave that one. And someone at the Hui said to me that they're very good. They have quiet times. Their reading that morning was from Psalm 146. And I thought, I'll read it to you. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes. in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth, and on that very day their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea that is and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free and opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, and the Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Jesus, who is fully God, came to earth to fulfill God's heart to restore humanity and creation to God's self. And he did it within the community that he was born into. As he walked on the Whenua, as he met and journeyed with people, he did it alongside his friends and as he ate and lived among them. At our explore group a couple of weeks with the teenagers, we were talking about prayer and wondering if it works. And I was thinking later how heavy it is for our young people to hold the pain of this world and its future, a heavy burden to bear. And I was thinking about what I want them to know. I want them to know that I woke on Thursday morning with all of the feelings, and Freddie, our puppy, was nestled in my bent leg with his head on my knee. And it was stupid early because I had to get to people to Rangiora an hour and a half before they needed to be there. So the birds were singing their morning chorus. I did some yoga, just a little bit. That on two of the 3 days, as Shell has said, Rochelle and I dressed in exactly the same colours, and it was quite obvious and funny. Here we are in our blue. That I had good conversations with amazing people, and we shared our lament and disappointment and despair and reminded each other of small moments of hope. That we celebrated all Steph's work as she was acknowledged as a registered pastor. That there was a person wearing this very cool top thing that she had screen printed on that had squad goals and all these amazing women from our stories of faith. That there is a quote that I think, I'm pretty sure is from John Lennon, but I heard it via Anne Lamott, and it says, in the end, it will be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. The world has been through deep pain before, and it will again. That the Bible is full of stories of people struggling to live in a broken world and to understand who God was in their lifetimes, who God is in their lifetimes. And it continues to be true in our time. We meet Jesus who joined humanity and experienced it fully. And when we are struggling, I read a quote by Malcolm Guite that Jesus is right in the hole with us. So we lean into our poets and artists, into our activists and joy makers as we continue to, as Glennon Doyle says, do the next right thing. We find small moments of joy and hope and we hold on to those. Could you click it on one? So some of my small moments of hope is my girls are doing chemistry exams and dear Rudy has spent time with them and teaching them, and so we've taken them up to there, and on the street that they live on is a pahutakawa tree, and it's in blossom and it's covered in bees. There's a quote by Reverend Jose Humphreys, who's a Puerto Rican American, and he says, in an apocalyptic moment, the church is called to resilient faith. And Jürgen Moltmann reflects that, God, you are the hope of the despaired, which he is quoting in the ancient Italian prayer. That hope comes from the spark of life that is within us, that spark of life that is God with us. And that our work continues to remain the same, to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. and we do it together. And that was a quote from Mary Oliver. It is a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. So we continue as John 2, 2 John, encourages us to imitate Christ and to walk together, loving each other. And I think we're going to play now, Live in Love. So this is a reflection, little reflection by Jackie Lewis.
Yeah. When I went to graduate school to study psychology and religion, I heard that all PhD programs are autobiographical. Like, no matter what you're going to study, you're actually going to find out something about yourself. And I would say that over my lifetime, God has really changed for me. And I often talk about having a grown-up God now. When I was little, I inherited my parents' God. They're black people from Mississippi. God was, you know, these wonderful metaphors of a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. You can hide your face in God. God's going to protect you, liberate you. And as time goes on, when you're a little person, you're like, but why did then those four girls get bombed in the church? And why did Dr. King get killed? So you have to complexify what you think God can do. If we think God is magic and a prophylactic and can protect us from all things, pretty soon we lose faith. But if God is presence, if God is companion, if God is, I've been there, done that, which is our Christian belief that that he puts on flesh and she comes and lives amongst us, then I can get with that God. I can keep that God over my lifetime. So I think God is like love in the flesh, that God is a warm bosom in which to hide your face, a comforting friend to listen to you talk it out, to be a partner in conversation and prayer, to give us inspiration, in spiritus, puts our holy imagination at work to co-create a healed world. And so God is love. The scriptures say God is love, and that's my mantra. God is love. Those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them.